If not, that's good. And you may as well move up a little close to the front. You'd never know when there'll be some anointing you can get hold of close to the front. I don't know. I was thinking it need to be open. It looked gloomy.
It was on the floor.
Okay. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name in this place. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach us. Reveal Jesus to us. Break through on our dullness, deadness, darkness. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your own wonderful self. Turn us into another kind of people from what we've been in the past, and make us a people that can bring you glory and people that can bear the glory. Lord, we love you, we honor you, we bless your name, and we thank you for your great faithfulness to us. We cannot do anything without you, and we love and honor and magnify your name, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm excited about what I have to share with us tonight. And I was just telling the Lord today that it has been a real honor for me to have so much time to study His Word and get into prayer, and especially on the subject of healing. In other words, even though the enemy meant it for bad, the Lord meant it for good and gave me a very extended period of time to get into the Word, not only because I wanted to, but because I needed to. You know, as long as there's a pill to take and a doctor that will do something, it's easier for people to choose that way than to choose God's way. And it doesn't mean that it'll always be a way that will be fail-proof, because I won't even tell you how many 100,000 people die in the hospital each year from wrong medications. And I'm not against it. I'm in favor. I appreciate doctors and nurses and all that. And there are times that we need that for various reasons. One reason is because our faith is so unperfected, right? But here's the thing. As long as, let me say it this way, until you hit a time where the doctors are not going to be able to do it, they can't do it, they don't know how to do it, they don't have what they need to do it with, and it's in God's hands, and when you get to that point will be a time that you'll come to a different level of faith. And one of the ways that the enemy undermines our faith for healing is to try to make it seem complicated, doesn't he? Well, and then, let me tell you how this complication sounds. Well, there's a lot of things I don't understand. There's really not a lot. There's just a few. And the few get magnified in your eyes. And you're not supposed to understand few things, because else you'd be God. And it doesn't bother the Lord that there's a few things you don't understand. And there's things that He's not going to tell us until He gets ready. He's already told us how to be healed, and that's what we need. We don't need to know everything that there is to know. We need to know what we need to know. Now, actually, it's understanding about healing is just like everything else of real value. You need to put in some time and effort to learn what God's Word teaches about it. And I'm glad that we have this group of people that are willing for that, but you would think that there would be more people who would have a desire for that. How many would think that? I would think that. I'm not being critical, but I'm just amazed. I mean, what are you going to do the rest of your life but find out how to minister in Jesus' name and reap the harvest and put yourself in a place for the things that you need as well? I don't think we realize how extremely important it is for us to be taught by the Spirit of revelation out of the Word of God, but only the Holy Spirit can reveal that. Now, I'm going to give you scriptures for about five different ways that God heals, and then I'm going to land on the sixth one, okay? First of all, prayers of the elders, confessing your faults to each other. James 5:14-16, if anybody's sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So this is the bringing the church into it way to be healed. And you want to get the elders to pray for you, but I've been in some places that I would not want those elders to pray for me. Because it's the prayer of faith that heals the sick. It's not the prayer of the elders. But to keep things in order, it's understood that those that are elders have faith for healing. And then the scripture says, if we confess our faults to each other, we may be healed. There are times that there are sins like unforgiveness and bitterness and things like that, or maybe even problems with relationships between people that is giving a place for the enemy and keeping us from being healed. So the scripture says if we confess our faults to each other and pray for each other, we can be healed. That's very important. So a lot of there's people who would like to be healed, they'd like to walk in healing, but they really don't want to be the kind of church that walks in healing. You see what I'm saying? Almost everybody would like the fruit of what's produced in a church like this, but some people don't want to get involved in the root. Oh, you mean it's about prayer? Well, I'm real busy. Oh, you mean it's about changing your lifestyle? Well, you know, I never was very good at making changes. I mean, second way to be healed is through prayers of believers. Mark 16, 17 through 18, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and they, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Who is this referring to? Believers, not the elders. So in a church order, in the meeting and what have you, you know, can ask for the elders of the church, but also the scripture says believers. Thank God. Thank God that, because some churches only have deacons, where are you ever going to find an elder? Think about it. That was actually tongue-in-cheek, and all of you looked at me like, why isn't that awful? Some churches don't even believe in elders. Well, you don't have to have an elder to be healed. You need to have faith. You need to have somebody that'll believe with you. And it says they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If we would settle our little cases of always wanting a miracle, we'd get a lot more healings. He doesn't say, and there will be a miracle. It says they shall recover. There were times in Jesus' ministry that the people recovered in a little period of time. And place I was where there was a mission work, they said I had a lot of people healed, but it very often would be the next day or the next day after they prayed for the people, they received their healing. Isn't that amazing? I think the Lord really wants us to know that it's just not healing on demand, but it is healing according to His word and according as He has spoken it. The third way is healing gifts. 1 Corinthians 12. And 9, to another he gives by the same Spirit faith, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now this is where he lists the gifts that are given to the church. And a gift is when the Lord gives the person the ability and the empowerment to minister in a certain area, like the gift to teach, or the gift to discern, or the gift of prophecy, or the gift of healing. Some people have a healing gift, and now watch that carnal mind, which is God's enemy, start saying, well, they prayed for some man, they were healed, and I prayed the same prayer, and they weren't healed. Sorry. Because the scripture says that the Holy Spirit gives, divides to every man severally as he will. The gifts of the Spirit will always be given by the Spirit, not by demand. You know, we can't tell the Lord, you need to give me a healing gift. Well, he knows whether or not he wants to give any of us any kind of a gift. And I think that's very important that we understand that. But there's going to be the gifts in the body, in the church, that we need. If we seek him for that, and if we receive the gifts from those to whom he brings the gifts. And verse 30 says, do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No, apparently everybody's not involved in being gifted in these particular areas. But all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The fourth way is God's divine intervention. And this is more like sovereignty. God does it. Nobody was expecting it. The person doesn't deserve it. People praying for him didn't have any faith. Guy got healed anyway. That's just how it is when God is God. And as scripture is John 5:4, remember there was an angel that would go down at a certain season into the pool at Bethesda and trouble the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Can you imagine today what it would be like if just one person's trying to get there? Can you imagine people sitting on the edge of the pool holding each other back? I just cannot imagine what kind of chaos. Do you really believe that they would say, after you, brother, I prefer you? Well, I know people get very selfish at times like that. And it kind of makes you wonder why the Lord would have chosen that. My guess is that he wanted people to know that he wants us healed, so he sent an angel to prove it. And it didn't take any faith to get healed. A lot of people would rather sit by that pool 38 years like the man Jesus prayed for there and see if he could get a chance at some time than to do the way the Word tells us that we can receive our healing for ourselves without an angel or without anybody. So that's God's divine intervention when the Lord simply does it himself of his own will and his own desire. And then I ministered Sunday morning on healing in the glory. I want to ask you a question. What would be the difference of being healed in the glory and just being healed totally by God's sovereignty like that angel? Now think about it a minute. They're similar, aren't they? Well, the angel had come from the presence of God. What's that? There's something that I want you to get, though.
To the healed person, there is no difference.
That's true. This is true. Let me tell you this difference I saw that makes it not really sovereignty. It's really God himself doing what he wants to do. But it's not really like sovereignty. You know why? There's certain things that we do that create an atmosphere and a place for his glory. So we have a part. That's the difference that I wanted us to see. So if we make a place that brings the glory into our midst and people are healed, then we have a part in that. Now, here's the one that this is number 7. Here's what I want us to settle on for the rest of the evening. The power of God's word. Did you miss, you're mumbling about 7. Did I count it wrong? Oh, no. Let's go back again. Number 1 is elders, prayer of the elders. Number 2 is prayers of believers. Number 3 is healing gifts. Number 4 intervention, God's divine intervention. Yeah, you're right. I think my pages are backwards here. Thank you for that. God's divine intervention was number 4. And then his glory, apparently I misnumbered. His glory would be 5. But you know, they bought my books and sent me to school, and here I am. I just can't count. It's so hard to count to 7. All right. Yeah, that's right. Number 6 then will be hearing and speaking God's word. Hearing and speaking God's word. Now, God's word works, and it has the power to heal. Now, sometimes, for some reason, I don't fully understand, people have the idea and the thought, if I get healed just by God's word, that's going to be hard work. The real fact of the matter is it's just about believing. And believing is not about working. Now, here's the thing that's why it's not hard. I've read that it takes 26 more muscles to frown than it does to smile. And I believe that it takes just as much or more energy to confess your sickness as it does to confess that God's your healer. Now, why is it so hard? What's the hard job about that? Now, the Lord's just given us the instruction how to train our mouths. And then our hearts along with that. I would love to wipe this thing out, and I know that it is something that happens. And when you talk to people that have this mentality, I hope you can remember what I said tonight and say that to them. Because I've talked to some folks who want to believe that God doesn't always want to heal people. And they want to believe that it's too hard to stand on the word. I even had somebody tell me, you know, I'm being healed in the glory now. That's my way. Huh? What about all the things that God's word has said? Are we just going to throw that out and not be our way because people get healed in the glory? Well, what is this thing about us? We even want to manage God, is it, or something. That's the sort of the sense that I get. So I want you to see, I wanted to light on the most common and the most useful and the most often used method of healing, really, is hearing and speaking God's word. Hearing and speaking God's word. Now, you remember back in Romans 10, 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. And many of you have more faith than you used to have because you've sat under so much teaching of the word. Of course you do. And the amazing thing, and listen carefully, this is important for you to know, the amazing thing, it does not come by having heard the word. It comes by hearing the word. In other words, if that's not a current experience for you, your faith is beginning to dwindle. I wouldn't sit under unanointed preaching. I couldn't afford it. I've got to have the life of God. I must have it. And faith can only come by hearing on a current, ongoing basis, the word of God. Hearing the word of God. You have heard the word of God, and you can say, oh, I know that, and I know that scripture. I know what that says. I know Isaiah 53. I know those things. But every time a minister preaches from Isaiah 53, you have an increase of faith. This is why the enemy doesn't want people to get much preaching. He wants people to not come to church very often because that just wrecks his plans. Because when you get under the word and it's anointed word, your faith level is going to rise. You know, at Sandra Kennedy's, they have a Sunday morning meeting, Monday night and Thursday night every week. And then once a month they have a miracle service on Friday night. And miracles happen. People are healed. And one of the reasons is because they have meetings on Sunday morning, Monday night, and Thursday night. All I'm saying is the people are so built up in faith. This is something the devil has robbed from us. He's got a lot of different ways to do it, and it has to do with people. It's the frog in the kettle. You just get the idea you're doing okay without it, but you know you're really not. And there's a lot of sick people in the church. And when I was ministering this past week out of town, I was amazed how many sick people were there, and the biggest part of them were Christians. Why are so many Christians so sick? Because they don't avail themselves of the opportunity to sit under the word and hear it. Sometimes because they think they've already heard it. But it doesn't come by having heard the word. It comes by hearing the word. So this is really important. This is something the Lord just really said to me. You've got to keep hearing the word. And I think I told you that John and I have about 3 or 4 TV ministers that we feel really are anointed and really do have the word of God. They listen to God. They hear God. And we record those things and we listen to them every week. And so if I'm going to watch something on TV, that's what I watch. And you know, the news will really make a wreck of you. You know, it's probably okay to watch a little bit of it, but there's really very little we can do about all that that's happening. I don't want to get mad about it. I don't want to get upset about it. Weird things happen in government. I am not depending at all on government. I'm depending on Jesus. And so when I hear the word, it gives me hope. It increases my faith. But when I hear all of this bad news, and you just keep hearing bad news and bad news, I don't want to hear that. Now, this guy came the other day to fix some equipment that we have here that was broken. And I'd heard John say something about it to somebody, one of the other men in the church. And this man came around the corner of the house, and he said to Joan, "I need to see John Kerr, and it's bad news." And I said to myself, "It is not. It's about a piece of equipment that needs..." I wish I'd just gone around there and said it to him. "It's about a piece of equipment that needs to be fixed, and it's going to cost money, and we don't have it." But that's not bad news. God's our provider. If he doesn't provide for us, we just have to go out of business. I trust him. He's going to do it. I refuse to worry about things. I don't appreciate him being right on my property and saying he had bad news when there wasn't a thing to it but life. That wasn't bad news. How long does a dryer last? Sometime it dies. That's just reality. You see how negative people are? That's some bad news for him. Now, bad news would have been if Missy got hurt. Now, that's bad news. My poodle got hurt. That's different. You get my point? You see what I'm talking about? We can be totally different thinking and talking people. We can be very different. It'll take us into a completely different realm. Now, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I want to ask you this. You think, "I've already heard that before. I don't need to hear that again. I've already heard teaching on healing." Well, you know, when I really look at through my sermon notes, I haven't taught that much on healing. We sort of kind of know what we believe here, but I have not taught that much on healing. But, you know, I've decided I'm going to bring some of this in on Sunday morning because I didn't get enough ears listening to this as much as I wanted. I'm happy for everybody's here, but I'm just saying we got to all be soaked and plastered in this thing. We got to get healed, and we got to stay healed. And above all else, we've got to get other people healed. I really believe this. Now, so I've already heard that. I've already heard that. Yeah, a long time ago when you started the work, you taught on healing. I was here from the beginning, and you've taught on it some few times since then. And I've already heard that. But here's my question. If somebody asks you, "Do you want breakfast today?" Do you say, "I had that yesterday"? If you don't feed that silly stomach body of yours every day, it carries on and acts ridiculous. So does your spirit. You just don't know it. If you don't feed your inner man or your spirit, it's going to shrivel up. It's going to believe negative things. It's going to actually believe heresies. Now, so it's our responsibility, one, to feed upon the word for your inner man. Feed upon the word for your inner man. And that just means avail yourself of the opportunity to get it. And of course, reading the word is wonderful, but faith says it comes, the word of God says faith comes by hearing it. And there's something wonderful about hearing the word that gets it down inside of you. Secondly, believe it. And thirdly, act accordingly. That's our responsibility to the word. So you really can't say, I'm just going to be honest with you here, because I want this to be trickle-down information. I'm expecting you guys to start talking. Now, please don't correct people. Don't be, "Speak the word, brother, and you're going to be healed." Don't be religious. Don't be like that. But when you hear somebody say one of these heretical things like I've mentioned to you, just in love say, "You know what? I used to kind of think that. Let me tell you what the Lord showed me. And I came into some healing through that. I've been sharing this with other people. I found that I have to get to hearing the word. And I found that God didn't give me a choice about whether or not to receive the word for healing. And to speak it. That this is what he provided. I've got to act according to the word of God. And the Word of God tells us what to believe and how to believe and how to go about it. And I think that we're, you know, there's just something about us that say, I'd rather get healed in the glory. Or I'd rather go to the doctor. You know, when I, about a little more than a year ago, when John and I were in South Carolina, and all of a sudden my blood pressure went way up. And I went to the emergency room, and they couldn't really find anything wrong. But here's what they tell me. Your sugar is 318. And I said, well, there must be some kind of mistake then. I did. Well, I said, look, I do my blood screening work on a regular basis, and the last time I had it done, it was right around 100. There's a mistake of some kind. You know what he said? Well, you've been on this prednisone for a little while, and it sometimes does that. After I held my ground. So that was on Saturday. Tuesday, I went back in, and it was 130. Because I was off. Then I was off of the prednisone. So, you know, you can see, and you know, you can take prednisone for these aches and things you have. Like the Chinese doctor said to me, it just goes away, doesn't it? And I thought, no, it just lies to you. It's just there, and some miracle negative that I don't understand pretends that you're okay, and you're really not. And it'll come back on you as soon as you quit taking. And if you keep taking it, there's a guarantee that it'll do a lot of things to you that you don't want done. Now, I'm not criticizing. I'm just simply saying that's not necessarily a good option. Why don't we really give ourselves to learning God's way? You see, because these things, I've had doctors say to me, we're still experimenting with these things. And that's a fact. I mean, you know, sometimes they'll do and they'll hit it just really well and really help people. And other times, oh my goodness, you know. So it's not the whole answer. And then there are other things where they'll just look at you and say, there's really not anything we can do for that. Just like, I hate to be a doctor and have to say that to somebody. There's not really anything that we can do for that. Nobody wants to hear words like that. So when I went through the neuropathy thing, then that's what the doctor said. You know, he said, we don't have any idea why you have it. It's called idiopathic, meaning we don't have any idea. I mean, that's what it means. We don't know anything about it. And so, but we can give you, we can't really help you, you know, we can't really help you, isn't that great? But we can prescribe some medicine here for you that'll take away some of that tingling and those shooting pains. But your feet will be numb. So that's 2 out of 3 maybe. But you know, you really can't walk with numb feet. You know, I'm just saying, I just don't think people realize how urgent it is that we learn how to get into the Word and get our healing, because the day's going to come you're going to really need this. And if we get in the practice of walking this way, then we can use it, and we can also tell other people how to use it. So then I decided to take the medicine because I was really in terrible pain. And I told you, I've already told you some of the things that it did to me. The red pill, you know, sent me up, it sent me down, it sent me all around. I knew I didn't want to live that way. I didn't even know what depression was. Honest, I didn't. I'd never experienced it. It's getting out a huge bucket of gray paint and covering everything with it. It's having a negative outlook on everything in life, and especially the future. It's totally unknown. Well, I could care less what I don't know about the future when I'm myself. There's a lot we don't know about the future, but we know we have a destiny, and God's going to get us into our destiny. You know what I also found out about the red pill? This is a total scream. It causes neuropathy. You're taking it for that, and it causes that. So these things are not, These are some of the problems that we can avoid if we can come up into a way that God has provided for us, and I believe that He wants that for us. It's the truth that sets you free, not some great new revelation. But it is revelation of God's truth. Now, so first of all is hearing the word, and secondly is speaking the word. Hearing the word and speaking the word. Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Doesn't Jesus say some astounding things? He's talking about mountain moving faith. And he's really saying you can do what to man is absolutely impossible if you have faith. And then some people don't want to hear this because they're afraid they don't have faith and they just don't want to hear something where they may not succeed. Come on. You know, find out how to build faith. Faith increases. And the Lord puts you in a place where you learn about faith and you can come to all different levels of faith. Now, saying that word, Michael Pitts had a series called My Mountain Knows My Voice. You've got a mountain in your life. It needs to know your voice. I told you that I talked to my feet. Sandra told me to do this. Speak to your feet. Tell them to line up with the Word of God. Tell them to be obedient. Tell them that you bring good news and your feet are beautiful and they're going to operate beautifully. And that's what I do. I spoke to that mountain. I spoke to it every day. I spoke to it any time I thought about it. You know, most of the numbness is gone. It's not going to be very long at all now. I'm so happy about that. I'm so thrilled about that. That was such an awful thing to go through. I'm so glad God healed me. Proverbs 18:21. Now, you want to at least write these addresses down. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, we don't believe this, but God's word says it. By the way you speak and the way you talk, you're going to bring life or you're going to bring death. Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Keeping your mouth. Boy, people have, I know I shouldn't say this, but, take yourself by the back of your shirt and don't say that anymore. If you shouldn't say it, don't say it. That's the law of love. When I have thoughts sometimes will come into my mind, I refuse to say it. If you keep your mouth, your tongue keeps your soul from troubles. And Proverbs 6:2, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my words. Now, I want you to see what this means. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Now, attend to his words means to really pay attention, really heed, really be aware. And set yourself to keep those words and walk in them. Attend to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Incline your ear means to listen and hear and put yourself in a place where you can hear, where what you need to hear is what will be spoken. Incline your ear. Set your ear in a place. When you stop and think about it, how much time are our ears occupied with those things which bring death? Or bring nothing. Just things, you know, whatever. I honestly do not want to hear all the dumb things that people are doing in the world. I don't care what Madame Gaga or whatever her name's doing. I don't care what she's doing. I don't care what any of them do. I really don't. Why should I? I don't even want to hear it. I don't even want to waste my time getting those words in my ears. You know why? It's empty, it's meaningless, and it's death. But when I hear the words of life, It causes life to come to my inner man, and it gives me faith for the things that God is asking me to do. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. You know, there's this thing about keeping the Word of God before your eyes, and you really ought to have scriptures that you need written places where you can see them easily. Things that remind you of who Jesus is and what he's going to do. You know where I was staying this past week? They had a picture of some artist idea of the marriage supper of the Lamb in my bedroom. And I just look at that picture and I think, that is going to be something. When we sit at that table with him, I started musing over the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, if that had some dumb thing up there, what would that have done for me? And they had scriptures in the living room, two or three places. And quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And, you know, scriptures like this. And so you can't help it. When you see those things and when you read them, it gets down into your inner man, builds up your spirit man. And the scripture says to keep these things in front of your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. The Word of God is medicine. The Word of God is healing to our flesh. The Word of God builds us up. Talking sickness tears us down. Now, never have I suggested that you lie about your sickness. There are just confessions that you can make that can put you in the place of healing. Now, Sandra says that, I'm recovering is one of the things. But, John, I think you came up with something recently. I'm being restored. When that is your confession. Now, some of you might even think when you ask me how I'm doing, and you might even think I'm just making a faith confession. No, I'm not doing that. I'll tell you how I really am. Because you know what my confession is. I am the healed of the Lord. And what little manifestation is left to be seen, I'm not concerned about that because I know that that's what the Lord wants to do for me. So when I tell you that this numbness is almost gone, that's what I mean. And I mean that I'm getting ready to take a real big sharp corner here and walk right on out of this thing. So rather than talking about our sickness, we can talk about God and what he's done for healing and what he will do according to the Word. So remember that back when the scripture talks about how to be saved, Romans 10:9, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But you've got, and healing comes the same way. Anything about the Word, you've got to confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. Your confession or lack of it, it'll either give you what God's promised or it will put you in a place. How did one man say? Believe it and receive it. Oh, believe and receive or doubt and do without. Now, doubt is not a terrible thing. Oral Roberts taught that doubt is the way to faith. You have to overcome your doubts, but do not live in doubt. You know, don't be a person who's established in doubt. You know, it's amazing in a church how many different kinds of people there are. In a church like this, and especially in a church like this, because we don't have a target audience. We targeted people that need God. And so they come in all sizes, colors, and ages. Now, if you just targeted 20-something people, that's all you'd have, and they'd all just be sitting there like, and I like what one of my ministry friends said about it. He said, they're going to be disappointed a little bit down the road. They're going to find that some of those young people don't understand about giving at all. Then what are they going to do, these pastors? You know, some of them, they don't have any background at all. And even after you teach them giving, they don't necessarily believe it. So sometimes people think they want a certain age group or whatever, but in this church, we have all ages. We have so many different cultural backgrounds and races. I really think it's a lot of fun. And I appreciate the Lord allowing us to have the opportunity to know that we're all walking in this thing together. We're all going there together. But some people are going to catch on to it more quickly than others. And some people don't realize it, but they're going to fight it. Does anybody know why you'd fight it? Yeah. Maybe I'm asking the wrong person because I'm pretty much preaching to the choir here. Well, the reason that people fight it is they don't want to make any effort for anything. They just want everything to be handed to them. They don't want to take responsibility. Have you ever known anybody that don't want to take responsibility? They don't want the Lord to give them any responsibility. They just want Him to do everything. Well, you can't even get saved unless what's in your heart you confess with your lips. And that's an ongoing thing. That's just not that one time that the pastor drug you up there and you say, I gave my heart to Jesus today. That's got to be your ongoing confession. That's what salvation is. Now, I'm gonna close with this story. Sandra Kennedy told me this story, and then I read it in a book, and I really appreciated it. When at that time when she called and asked me if I would come down there and let them minister to me and just love on me for about 3 or 4 days, she said, I have this thought. Everybody has prayed for you, and your congregation's praying for you, and my congregation's praying for you. And people everywhere are praying for you. If just praying would have healed you, you'd already been healed. And I believe that it's time now to start confessing and proclaiming and declaring. And she told me this story, and then I read it recently in a little book. There was an evangelist who got tuberculosis. Every known, well-known healer in the country had prayed for him to be healed, and he only got worse. So one day he struggled and was able to get himself about a half mile away from where everybody else was. And he decided he was just going to thank God and praise Him for his healing. Now there are many scriptures that will make it pretty clear to us that we need to make a confession. That Jesus is our healer and that I'm trusting Him for my healing. And I thank Him for my healing before I ever see it. This kind of thing. You're not saying that your knee that doesn't work does work. You understand the difference? But you are saying that your foot that you have a problem with, that you are trusting God and for that manifestation, and you keep speaking health and healing and victory to that foot or arm or eye or whatever it is, you keep speaking that word. Now, I don't know why it is that some people are so adverse to doing that. I guess because it's God's way and not man's way. So this man dragged himself to that place half mile away, and he was so weak and so near death that all he could say was, in a whisper, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing me. Praise God. He said that for a while until he found that he could sit up. He was just lying down saying these words. Then got to where he could say, praise the Lord. Praise God for healing me. Thank you that you want me to be healed. Thank you that you are my healer. Thank you for the manifestation of my healing. And after about an hour and a half, he got to where he could stand on his feet. And he stood on his feet and he said, thank you, Lord, for healing me. I praise you. Thank you for all the prayers people have prayed. I praise you for the answer to be manifest in my body. I declare that you're a healer. And I stand on the word of God. It is your promise to me. And it's mine, Lord. Let it be seen in my body. Let it be seen in my lungs. And they said within 2 hours, you could hear him all over that area. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! And he was totally healed in a matter of 2 hours. Sandra told me that story. And I thought, that is an amazing thing. That the Lord would allow us to take His word, because the word works, and to take it as a weapon and to declare it right in the face of the enemy. Now, I want to say this because this is another area where people seem to sometimes have a struggle. I personally don't think it makes any difference to God whether you go to a doctor or not, or whether you go to a hospital or not. It's up to you. I think there's certain risks involved in it. There can be certain disappointments about it. It could be that you need to go because your faith is just where it is. And I want to banish any mentality or attitude that anybody has about being under condemnation. If you go to a doctor or if you go to a hospital, people will think, oh, is this about what people will think? Or is this about we as a church are moving together to get all that God has to give us? You know, I haven't done this in a while, but for a number of years when someone was sick, I mean really bad sick, I would go to the hospital and visit them. But you know, I haven't gone to the hospital very much at all in my almost 40 years of ministry. That's a good thing to be able to say. But if people need help of that kind, then they need it. And I believe that the Lord wants you to be healed, and I don't think that He minds the means that people use for healing. And I would just really like to relieve you, but I have also shared with you some of the problems that I see with that. And I want to get us to a place where we can come to another level, where we confess and where we really pray for each other and confess our faults to each other and all the different ways that we have to be healed, and that we begin to walk in that way, and that we have the expectation. Like in the prayer meeting today, Jane said, has anybody been healed this week? Well, I mean, there's a lot of churches you go to, if they had a prayer meeting, that they wouldn't say, has anybody been healed this week? Right? Because they don't think that way. This is how we got to think. You know, who's been healed this week? Whose testimony have we heard? Did we hear on Sunday? Because we have an expectation. Because we've got this six ways, at least, that we can get healed. And it is the will and the plan of God. Now, unless we, to some measure, are walking in this, how are we going to minister to the harvest as it comes into our midst? And the Lord is sending us people. We had a very young couple who almost have never been to church, but we're in the prayer meeting today. And we don't know who God's going to send us next and what their needs might be, whether it's deliverance or whether it's healing. But don't you think after all these years it's time that we be able to pray for people and release our faith and help people get healed, help them get delivered, and help them get set free? That's what I desire. And I'm hoping that the things that we've studied in this class, I don't see how it can help from bringing those of you that have been here to a different level. Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. And you have heard, and you have to be in a different place. And I'm thankful that God spoke to our hearts to do it, aren't you? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen.